You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we focus on the word abide. And if you were paying attention with the gospel reading real carefully, you might have noticed that that same word appeared 7 times in today's gospel reading. So what does that word mean? To abide means to remain. It means to continue. As we think about the context here that we're talking about, it means to abide, remain, continue in Jesus Christ in a saving relationship with him. How did that initially happen? God worked through the Holy Spirit in connection with holy baptism in order to unite us to Jesus Christ, to clothe us in Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is continuing to work through word and sacrament in order to keep us in Christ, to keep us abiding, remaining, continuing in him. Let's know how important that is. If we continue to abide, we are blessed now and forever. If we don't continue to abide, we are in trouble in a very serious way now and forever. So important. When we do abide in Christ, what are some of the blessings? We are saved. We bear fruit. God grants what we pray. And God is glorified in our lives. Wonderful things. As we go back to today's gospel reading, we find ourselves in John chapter 15. And the situation here is that it is late on Holy Thursday. Jesus had been in the upper room with his disciples, eating the Passover meal, instituting the Lord's Supper, and now they've just left the upper room. They're heading for the Garden of Gethsemane, and it would seem that maybe Jesus is sharing these words as they're heading to Gethsemane. Jesus is going to tell us in the reading that he himself is the vine. In other words, he is the source of nourishment. He's going to say that his followers are the branches. They are the ones who desperately need to continue to receive that nourishment, because if they don't, they're going to end up like that daffodil that I cut yesterday and now is completely withered today. Going to the first part of the sermon here, to the first part of the text, I'm calling the first couple of verses simply a summary statement. Let me read it with a little bit more understanding here. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father in heaven is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father in heaven takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit." Try to picture it like this in a sense. Think about God the Father planting his son, the vine, in this world. And then everyone who by God's grace believes in the son, that person is united to the son, that person is benefiting from the son, and that person is being nourished by the son. We could even apply it, for example, to a farmer that deals with grapes. As the great farmer wants each vine to bear more fruit, so God the Father wants the same from us who are the branches. He wants us to be fruitful in our lives. So the Father looks us over as ones who are joined to Jesus Christ. And when he looks and sees no fruit, what does he do? He gets out the pruning shears. He cuts us off and throws us over in a pile. When he sees ones that have a little bit of fruit, then he carefully prunes in order that they may become even more fruitful. A passage I thought about that ties in with this would be over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So try running an Olympic marathon with a winter coat on. Is that going to work very well? No. The idea is to get off the winter coat, to get on the least amount of clothing that you can so you can run the best you can. When we have these sins encumbering us, that's a little bit like a branch that's trying to grow and trying to produce fruit, and there are a bunch of suckers on the branch, and they're sucking the energy out of that branch, and they're not doing it any good. So the vine dresser comes, he prunes off all the suckers and lets all the energy go toward producing the fruit. God wants to do that in our lives as well. And how does he do that? By taking away the sin that hinders us so that the fruit can be more plentiful. Going on to the second part here, we come to what I'm calling salvation clarification. The reason why I'm calling it that is I think some people can get mixed up by what Jesus said earlier, and they might think, oh, if I work hard to bear fruit, that means that I'm saved. But he wants us to know that's not the case. Notice what he said here. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus could have put it this way. He could have said, hey guys, you are clean, you are forgiven, not because you bore fruit, but because the Spirit worked through the word to convict you of your sins and enable you to believe in me, Jesus said, and also the work I'm very soon to complete tomorrow on Good Friday when I lay down my life to take away your sins. God wants us to know that when we are already clean, we are forgiven in Christ, so we have the new nature that wants to please God, and God even sees us to be holy ones, but we also have that sad reality of the old nature that still pulls us into sin. Let's understand that's the reality of the Christian life. Going on to the third part, I'm saying here that abiding is necessary for fruit. Jesus said, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Pretty simple, right? Think about a tree, let's say an apple tree, and there are branches coming off of the trunk of the tree, and there is fruit trying to grow on a branch. If the branch is broken off of the tree or cut off of the tree, are the apples going to grow? No, it's a no-brainer. So we know that the branch has to have not only a connection, but a good, solid connection. If you have a branch, and it's supposed to be like this, and it's kind of broken down like this, and this part right here is damaged, is that going to produce fruit? No, it's going to be in a bad situation. It might be living a little bit, but you're not even going to see any fruit. It needs to be a good, healthy connection. That's what it's talking about here. So what happens then is that through the trunk of the tree, the nutrients are going into the branch, and that's producing the fruit. That's what goes on in our lives too in Jesus Christ. So here he is the vine. Here we are the branches connected to him, and the nutrients are coming from him to us. And when this connection is good, then the fruit comes. God wants us to know that's how he wants it to work in our lives. But what is the most important connection, though? I talked earlier about three connections with the children. The most important connection is between the vine and the branch. That should be our focus of having that always good. And really, God is the one who makes it good and keeps it good, and he does so through word and sacrament. And then Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we understand that we have to be connected or it's impossible to bear any fruit. What kind of fruit are we talking about here? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So think about what the Bible identifies as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So when this connection is good between Jesus Christ and us, and maybe we could even say the more mature this connection becomes, the more mature that fruit should be showing forth in our lives. Lenski made this note: a branch may have but little of such fruit, but as long as it draws life from the vine, that is, life from Jesus, some of the fruit will be found. So again, The importance is on the connection with Christ, not on the fruit. So when this connection is weak, maybe a little bit of fruit. When this connection is strong and mature, much more fruit. So don't focus on the fruit, focus on Christ, and God will take care of the rest. Going to the fourth part, I say, those who do not abide, in other words, those who do not stay connected to Christ, they are dead. In this section, Jesus gives a very strong warning to all of us. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. What does that sound like? It sounds like eternal punishment, doesn't it? Aren't there many people who want to say they are in Christ, and yet they have no fruit, or at least sometimes it's pretty difficult to identify any fruit of the Spirit in their lives? That's up to God to know, not for us. We don't know their hearts. But if they have no fruit, that means that God is going to cut them off. He's going to prune them off the vine. He's not going to let them stand there and use up energy and not produce anything. He's going to cut them off the vine. He's going to throw them in a pile. He's going to burn them up. It's a pretty terrifying picture. God wants us to know that that is certainly something that we don't want to happen to us, and even to our worst enemy. Do we want them to go on to eternal punishment? By no means. We know that we all deserve it. We're all poor, miserable sinners. But let us also know, though, that God has made the way of escape for everyone in Jesus Christ. So what is the key here? Let's continue by God's grace to abide in him. And we don't have to worry about that. And if we know of anyone who is not yet connected, let's tell them so they can abide too and they can escape eternal punishment. But what happens, though, with some people, maybe even with many people? A quote here from Dr. Kretzmann. There may be some Christian show and appearance, but the reality of Christian virtue, in other words, the reality of Christian benefit, is lost. What I mean by that is some people are giving the impression that they're Christians, but they're actually not. Am I speaking out of turn? Think about what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. He said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And it's a very deceptive thing, too. I know of people who thought they were alive when in fact they were dead. And the way I know that is because later they found out that they were dead and then God made them alive. And I know that too because I'm one of such people. For a long time, I thought I was doing okay. So I had the reputation, and even in my own heart and mind, I thought I was alive. But I'm so thankful, though, that God showed me that I wasn't, and then God made me alive. The way we find out for sure is we get into God's word, and he will make that clear to us. And if we're dead, he will make us alive. God loves us. He wants that for us. I have another quote here now from Dr. Luther, some pertinent words on this topic. He wrote, if you would give up the doctrine of faith or undermine it and, leaving Christ, depend upon your own holiness or publicly live in sin and shame, and yet at the same time glory in the gospel and in the Christian name, then you shall know that you are a false branch and have no part in the vine. So it's a stern warning there from Luther. He wants us to know that by trying to give a show of being Christian and yet not really being in Christ, it might seem pleasant for a while, but in the end, though, we're going to be sorely disappointed, and we're going to regret that forever and ever. Part 5, those who abide pray in harmony with God's will. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So doesn't that sound nice? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there are two qualifications here that we must meet in order for that to happen. First of all, we must be abiding in Jesus Christ. We must have a saving relationship with him. And then secondly, we must be continuing in his word. So that means that we must know it, we're holding it to be very important, and we are trying to make proper application in our lives. Why is that a qualification? When people are serious about the Word of God, then they're going to be praying in connection with the Word of God, which is also the will of God. And when we pray in connection with the will of God, God's going to answer that prayer because it's in agreement with his will. If people don't know what the Word of God says, they're going to be praying about all kinds of things that don't agree with the will of God, and God is not going to grant such prayers. Finally, in the last part here, I say that those who bear much fruit show that they are abiding in Christ. Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." According to our new nature, we have one desire, and that is to glorify our Father in heaven. Problem is, we still have the old nature, and our old nature wants to do the opposite. God wants us to know that he sees us to be his holy children, even though we sin, but he wants us to say no to the sin. He wants us to be strongly nourished by his word, as the Holy Spirit works through word and sacrament, and he wants us to show the fruit in our lives that the Spirit is in us and that we are truly connected to Jesus Christ. As our lives are that way, what's going on? We are being identified as the disciples, as the followers, as the branches of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant such things to us all. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your finished work. And dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us faith in Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to ever abide, remain, continue in him, and help us also to bear much fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.